Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, folks? It's your boy, Long Beach Joe. Jets got a tough game coming up. We're going to be playing the Los Angeles Chargers. We got a lot to talk about. We got guys that have gone on IR. Got a lot of questions about this defense, a lot of questions about this football team going forward. But listen, I'm the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search Long Beach Joe. Like that page. My content's up there as well. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on the Long Beach Joe show. So without further ado, folks, let's go ahead and get into the show. I am fired up. Listen, you got a Jets team right now that is dealing with some issues. You got Bless Austin, who, you know, we saw had a neck injury. We thought it was just a strain, but he ends up going on IR now. We got a secondary that, you know, has a lot of questions, a lot of young players coming into it now. A lot of guys that we're looking at in this situation going, hey, you know, what are we going to do going forward? What's going to happen? You know, Flacco starting, Sam Darnold's not playing this week either. Just a lot of questions, a lot of questions. And we're going up against a football team in the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers. That's serious business. You know, they really mean business. This is a young team. You know, it's got some solid players on it. They got some veteran guys on there too. You know, Keenan Allen, so on and so forth. And they got a really young quarterback that's really looking solid. You know, this guy that can really put up some points here, throw the football around. And we've got to go out there and be ready for them. So before we get into the game, before we start talking about, you know, the matchup in particular, here on the Long Beach Joe Show, we love to, you know, highlight charities that are doing great things in the community, doing whatever they can to help the community. And so I partnered this year yet again with the Community Food Bank of New Jersey. We're going to bring on a woman, Nadine Rosenbaum-Lure. She's going to come on and speak to us about just exactly what they're doing over there at the Community Food Bank and how they're impacting the community positively. So, Nadine, welcome to the Long Beach Joe Show. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Now, Nadine, can you give us some background on the Community Food Bank in New Jersey?
Of New Jersey is celebrating its 45th year. This year, we were founded in 1975 in the back of our founder's station wagon, and we have grown to be the largest anti-hunger and anti-poverty organization in the state. We directly serve 11 counties as the 21 counties in New Jersey. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so we're extremely busy, especially with the pandemic continues to go on. You know, food insecurity in New Jersey is projected to increase 56% this year, but for children, it's projected to increase by 75%. So in 2008, one in nine children in the state was food insecure, and because of the pandemic, Feeding America is projecting that one in five in the state of New Jersey will be food insecure.
Wow, those are some stats right there, Nadine. What are some of the programs that you have for senior citizens though that could be struggling as well with food insecurity?
Yes, so we have, you know, programs for children and seniors and, you know, job training, but specifically for seniors, we do hand out several thousand, you know, senior boxes for seniors, you know, low-income seniors, and then seniors who have mobility issues. We do partner with, we work with over 1,000 agencies throughout the state. We couldn't do what we do without our partner agencies, so those are food pantries and soup kitchens, you know, which also, you know, help, you know, seniors in need.
And that's wonderful to hear. Again, everyone listening, speaking with Nadine Rosenbaum-Lower of CFBNJ.org, that's Community Food Bank of New Jersey. Nadine, can you clear up some misconceptions that the food insecurity doesn't affect people in affluent areas?
Yeah, food insecurity is in every town, every city, every county in New Jersey. It doesn't matter where you live, from the most affluent to the poorest. You know, and especially now, you know, with the pandemic, you know, 4 in 10 people are visiting a food pantry, you know, for the first time in their lives. So the pandemic has really, really impacted, you know, folks, you know, throughout the state, you know, no matter where they live.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's something I see as well, Nadine. And, you know, a lot of people think, hey, this is just an issue that, you know, is only, you know, dealing with people that are homeless or dealing with people that were, you know, that are truly struggling. But like you said as well, we're seeing it in affluent areas as well. And I've seen it myself. What are some of the things that you folks do for your end of the year fundraising, though, to continue to help the community food bank move forward?
Yes. So, you know, really what's so amazing about the Community Food Bank of New Jersey is that we can turn every dollar that you give us into 3 meals. And we have Giving Tuesday coming up, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So that's about 2.5 weeks, I think a week away. Oh, my God, Thanksgiving next week. So like a week and a half from now. We have like, wow, I'm like lost track of time. you know, we do have different, you know, fundraising programs where, you know, your dollar is even more powerful. So on Giving Tuesday, actually, I'm usually on the show on Giving Tuesday. Every dollar is doubled. We have a very, very generous anonymous donor that, you know, that really doubles the power of your gift. So if you give a dollar instead of 3 meals, it's really 6 meals.
Wow.
You know, just throughout the year, yeah, we have, you know, obviously we always, you know, have food drives. A lot of people do that November and December, but, you know, people are a little, you know, it's very hard for people to get out or, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable, you know, donating food. So, you know, right now we had our turkey drive today, you know, at different supermarkets throughout northern New Jersey. And we collected, you know, a couple of thousand, you know, turkeys and several thousand pounds of food. But what we say to people, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, we have, you can always give online. Right now we have a virtual turkey drive. You know, our goal was $10,000. Last time I looked, you know, about an hour ago, we were about $1,000 away from our goal. And
wow.
Then, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, and we do have a lot of programs for kids. I know I have a daughter who's in middle school. We have a lot of virtual, you know, programs for them. We have a teen summit coming up. You know, we do have Student Change Hunger, which is wrapping up. But there's always, you know, throughout the year, you can always come and volunteer. Typically, it's 12. If you're 12 or older, you can volunteer at any time. Right now, it's you have to be 14 or older. So that's one thing that the food bank was struggling with was, you know, people didn't feel comfortable volunteering. But we have, like, the strictest, you know, COVID precautions in place. I always tell people, I don't know, Joe, if you've been to the Hillside location, you know, between our two locations, we have one right outside Atlantic City. It's 285, you know, square feet. So that, in football terms, is 5 football fields long. So there is, you know, a lot of, you know, room, you know, to volunteer, you know, sort through food. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, that you can get involved with the food bank. But, you know, what we always want to tell people is that every dollar you give provides 3 meals. Also, the food bank has maintained a 4-star charity rating for the 10 plus years, and only 2% of nonprofits, you know, are 4 stars. So there's a lot of, you know, ways that people could support the food bank, you know, and help their, you know, neighbors in need. I always tell my daughter, and I've been telling her this for years, you know, I live in, you know, a town where you wouldn't think there is any hunger. But I always said to her, you know, one at the time was 1 in 7. Now it's 1 in 5. I said, there is somebody in your class that is food insecure, that doesn't know, you know, if they're going to have something to eat at night. And food insecurity, when you look at somebody, it's not like somebody is malnourished. A lot of times it could be, you know, that they are overweight and they're not getting, you know, the proper nutrients, you know, that they need, the nutritious food. So that's something also that the that the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, you know, as part of, you know, its overarching goal is hunger is a health issue. And about a quarter of the food that we, you know, provide is, you know, fresh produce, and about 70% is foods that we encourage.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something, Nadine. Everything that you folks are doing there is super amazing. Just when you spoke about, you know, everything that the turkeys you folks are collecting and all of the, you know, the money and everything that you said as well, it's just wonderful to hear about everything that you folks are doing there, because you are truly making an impact. I don't think a lot of people really understand how much you folks really do and how involved with the community you truly are. And so my final question for you, and you spoke a little bit about some of the things about donating, but where exactly can some of my listeners go to really help to continue to donate, you know, their money or their time to the Community Food Bank? How can they get involved? Do you have a website? You know, is there places that they can mm-hmm. call? Can they send you folks payments? Mm-hmm. How can it, exactly can they, you know, get in touch with you all?
Sure. You can get all of the information at cfbnj.org. Our website mm-hmm. is very robust. You can learn about hunger in New Jersey, you know, the problem, the solution, you know, all of our programs. In addition to senior programs, we have child nutrition programs. We have job training programs, that Food Service Training Academy. So we're, you know, in addition to we're shortening the line, you know, to make sure that people have, we say, food for today, help for tomorrow, hope for the future. So, you know, we really, you know, strive to, you know, get as many people, you know, off the line, you know, and self-sufficient, you know, as possible in the state.
Yes, yes. And again, Nadine, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It was great to speak to you. Again, I want to thank you for everything that you do with the community and the Community Food Bank in New Jersey.
Well, thank you so much for having us on and letting us, you know, tell the public, you know, what we do. And we really appreciate all the support that you give us every year.
Absolutely, Nadine. And I'll continue. You have a good night.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Whew, that was Nadine Rosenbaum-Lohr coming on tonight, speaking to us about the Community Food Bank in New Jersey. Folks, I'm telling you, any way that you can get involved, cfbnj.org. Go over there, donate your time if you can. If you can go and, you know, help out in the warehouse or anything that they're doing, or you can also donate your money as well, as she spoke about too, your dollar. That dollar goes a long way for the Community Food Bank in New Jersey. So again, cfbnj.org. Get involved any way that you can. If you go, you know, on my social media, you know, whether it be my Twitter, my Facebook, anything like that, it's plastered everywhere. So in case you're confused again on how to get in touch with them, you can come to my social media and click that link that's there, and it'll take you right to their website. So again, I want to thank Nadine for coming on tonight. So with that said, now we're getting back to the New York Jets. Now it is time to talk about the game that we have coming up against the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a football team that has a lot of talent on it. I mean, you know, they've got some guys that can definitely get after it, particularly in a wide receiving core. A lot of things going on, you know, with us particularly. So I'm going to get to the callers because we've got quite a bit of callers tonight. Again, everyone, if you want to call in, it is 515-602-9639. Again, 515-602-9639. All my guys in the chat as well. If this is your first time listening to me, I also, you know, live stream during my show. So I got my savages in the chat, man. And they be going off. I ain't going to lie to you. They be going off and they be talking crazy. You know what I mean? So salute to everybody, Daniel Roberts, Tony, Phoenix, everybody that's in the chat right now. I'm going to come to you folks. So, you know what I'm saying? Let your, you know, opinions fly, you know, and we'll definitely get there to you. Salute to my guy Port Wade as well. It's good to see him in there. But I'm going to get to these callers first. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get to these callers, and I want to go to Elias, man. Because Elias, I want to talk to you about this game that we got coming up, and I want to get your thoughts on, you know, some of the things that we're seeing right now, some of the issues that this football team has. Elias, man, welcome to the show. I want to get your thoughts on Blessed Austin being on IR, man.
It sucks, but he's not, I don't think he's as good as a lot of fans say. He's not getting coverage. A lot of guys think he's a good tackler, which I don't even think he is a great tackler either. He makes a lot of tackles, but he misses a lot of them too. But, yeah, it's a big loss. I think Poole is definitely a bigger loss. But, hey, man, with guys going down, you get to see other guys play. So I'm looking forward to Bryce Hall, obviously. I want to see Lamar Jackson. And I'm kind of curious to see what the dude – he's another undrafted guy, Javelin Guidry, who's, like, not very good, but he's super fast. So he obviously has some, like, some physical tools. You can kind of look into being something with his speed. So I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him. But,
you bring up a really good – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you bring up a really good point.
Oh, no worries.
And it was something I was gonna speak about as well was I know people are frustrated – with us, you know, losing Bless Austin, I am as well. You know, I thought he was a guy. He's not a number one, but he's a guy that may be able to fill in a role, you know, possibly at number two going forward for us, or even being a number three corner. We've seen flashes from him when he's looked really good, and there's also been some times where he's looked really bad. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing with him is, you know, kind of the consistency, because we saw him get roasted this year. But again, with him going down, Poole being on the IR as well. You know, and we also got rid of Desir as well, and I want to get your thoughts on us cutting Desir too.
Thank
in a
God.
Second. But when with those guys being gone, like you said as well, Lamar Jackson, we're going to see him. He's going to get some playing time. Gundry, we're going to see him. We're going to get some playing time. And Hall, for me, is a guy that I'm extremely intrigued about because we got him later on in the draft. Mainly because of the injuries that he had, you know, in college. But a lot of people were saying if he had not have had those injuries, this guy could have been, you know, a pretty high pick in the draft. There was a lot of people talking about that, a lot of people talking about his potential and everything like that. So I'm excited to see those guys go out there as well. And like I said earlier, I really want to get your thoughts on Desir being cut too. You know, a lot of people looked at the situation and just kind of, you know, shrugged their shoulders at it, you know, and just said, hey, this guy should be gone, but I want to get how you feel.
So the first part with Bryce Hall. So I actually think I like Bryce Hall a lot. I'm pretty sure he was a senior, and I think he was eligible for the 2019 draft. And guys were talking to him like a second round pick, maybe even late first. So where we got him, like that he got hurt and stuff. But like he could potentially be our number two corner for the future, which I'm really excited about that. This year, he was terrible, so I'm glad he's gone. if you're going to cut the guys to get the young guys playing, I don't want to see Frank Gore. And honestly, I don't want to see Joe Flacco. I want to see what James Morgan has got, you know? Like, might as well. It's not like you're going anywhere.
You're right. We can talk a little bit about the offense as well. But like you said, and I've talked about this too, is, listen, for the rest of the year, honestly, for this – pretty much this whole year, we should not have been seeing Frank Gore get more carries than P. Ryan. That's ridiculous, especially when you get rid of Le'Veon Bell in the fashion that we did. We should consistently see P. Ryan get a bunch of carries. You know, he shouldn't be out carried by Gore, a guy that, again, I'm not disrespecting Gore. You know, he definitely is probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame at some point. But this guy, he's 37. He's almost a 40-year-old running back. It's like, you're running this guy like he's 23. It's ridiculous.
That's
it's absolutely
crazy.
Ridiculous. And you brought up another good point as well. James Morgan is a guy that I would like to see out there. I know that there's been a lot of talk, particularly from Adam Gase, saying, hey, you know, this is a kid that he doesn't feel is ready. It's unfair to put him in as a number two. But it's like, dude, you know, we drafted this guy in the fourth round. We got to see this guy
round.
At some point. Yeah, we got to see him at some point. Like, some point this kid needs to be put in there or this guy, you know, is having issues. But to stick with this football game, I want to get your thoughts, man. You look at this offensively. We got a challenge here because the other Bosa brother, I mean, he's going to be on that field. How concerned are you that he's going to take over this football game? And what do you think the Jets can do to keep him blocked so that he doesn't just wreak havoc and completely destroy us?
So before I get into that, I just want to say one thing about Adam Gase claimed that the reason Morgan can't play is because there's no preseason. So apparently all the 31 other teams had the other 31 teams had a preseason. So that makes sense. But to the game, I like Joey Bosa a lot. He's a stud, man. He has a couple injury issues, but he's a beast. I saw on his NFL Top 100 video last year, both Bulaga, who he's teammates with now, and David Bakhtiari, the tackle from the Packers last year, both said that he was literally the hardest guy to block. So I want to see him go up against Becton, because I'm curious to see that matchup. We found out that Becton wasn't really hurt. He just had a cold that caused him trouble breathing. So luckily it's not like a torn, like a pectoral muscle or something like that. So I'm really intrigued for that matchup. They'll probably be smart. The Chargers will probably be smart and play him on the right side. But even if he does, he got Melvin Ingram. I mean, that's not an easy task either. So I think it should be a cool, you know, it's going to suck because it's great, but you'll also be able to see Will Beckton's shot, which I saw a thing today. I forgot who it is. I think it's Daniel Jeremiah, some draft analyst guy, said that he's in 2 to 3 years, Mekhi Becton will be the best best tackle in the league. So that's
That's good to hear. I mean, you know, I'm always a guy, you know, look, I respect everybody, you know, take, and I love Mekhi Becton as well. But, I mean, he does look like he's going to be phenomenal. But I don't want to, you know, count our chickens before they hatch. You know, I don't want to do that, you know. But I do think that he definitely has a lot of traits and a lot of things that we're seeing early where he's phenomenal, man. I mean, he has truly made a difference. And this is what I had been talking about for years with this football team, is that we need to invest in the offensive line and, you know, do what we can to really set the table for our young quarterback, whoever, you know, this was before we got Sam, for our young quarterback to really be able to step out there and make plays. And I think Becton being able, you know, to fill in on that left side and really be, you know, have a big time impact there is huge for us. Cause you know, and you know, I know Daniel Jeremiah said, I think there's been other analysts that I've watched as well that has talked about his play and how phenomenal that he looks there. And so I'm looking to see him, you know, especially up against the Chargers this week. I'm looking to see, like you said as well, I'm looking to see this matchup with him and Bosa. You know, how does he handle this situation? You know, does he get beat a bunch? You know, what can he do? Is he going to get a lot of flags? You know, I want to see what he's going to do because, again, even throughout the rest of this, you know, stretch of the season, he's definitely going to be tested. He's definitely going to play quite a bit of teams that have guys that can get after, and they're going to, you know, they're going to test him. They're going to try to target him and, you know, just kind of see what's going on over there and see if he's the real deal. So, you know, I'm also worried about the Chargers just moving him over to the right side. And you spoke a little bit about that as well, because I'm not a big Fant believer, man. And I think that Fant, you know, is going to get taken advantage of. Yeah. I think that Fant is going to get taken advantage of, but keeping with the young guys on offense, man, how many catches do you think Mims will get in this football game?
It's always a tough question because how many do I want him to get? How many do I think? Maybe around 5 to 6, 6 to 7. I'm hoping something around that. Hopefully it's not just like, you know, screen plays and crap like that. Hopefully it's like actually legitimate passes down the field. So that I'm looking forward to. You know, Perryman, and I don't even know, is he hurt or who knows? But I want to see
him
get
some
targets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, he's just like, he was on the injury report. He always is, and he's so injury prone. But but yeah, I want to see Mims get some time. I want to see Joe, like you said in your video, is this Chris Herndon's week? Hey, man.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Please don't start talking to me. You come on this show and you get it started every time. Listen, I just gotta say this for everybody that is in my mentions talking to me about Chris Herndon. Stop. Stop doing that. All right? These are the same people that were getting after me, okay, in the preseason when I was saying, like, listen, the guy has not shown enough. I'm not going to consider him our Travis Kelce, you know, before he actually does some of the things that Travis Kelce is doing. And he comes in this season.
Yeah, he was getting hyped up in the beginning of the year. He was getting hyped up. People were like, Herndon's our X factor. He's going to be our number one option. You know, great teams always have great tight ends. I'm like, he's played like not even a full year. He's missed the whole year last year.
Oh, my God. He's so bad. If he's not dropping balls, he's fumbling. If he's not fumbling, then he's, you know, he can't catch it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just completely ridiculous, man. I don't understand this at all. I don't understand this, you know, some people's love and obsession with Chris Herndon. I'm not with it. But just to keep on, you know, with what we got going on here, Elias, I want to get your thoughts on this too, man, because we're going West Coast this week. Are you concerned with this West Coast swing that the Jets are going to come out and kind of sleepwalk and be lethargic?
Well, they kind of always are, so I'm kind of prepared for it. But I'm excited to play to have them play in that stadium. SoFi, that's a cool stadium, man, with, like, the Oculus, the screen. Way better than the soup cut, depressing air conditioner we play in, so called MetLife. But I'm going to tell you about that part on the West Coast. But, yeah, they're going to play like crap on the West Coast anyways. But, yeah.
Oh,
West
my
Coast,
goodness.
East Coast, middle, they play crap. They play like crap everywhere. North, south, west, east. The Jets suck.
Wait, what is your final score prediction for the game, man?
Man, Jets fans are like, they're like, oh, man, it's the Chargers. We got this. I'm like, people are like, well, it's the Chargers. It's not going to be that big of a deal. I'm like, yeah, well, it's the Jets. We haven't won a game yet. And all the Chargers are like the best two-win team I've ever seen. Like, they got some studs on the field of Herbert. He's been unbelievable. But I think it's going to be a disaster, especially with some – like, we're going to have, like, an undrafted corner on, like, Mike Williams or something, Keenan Allen. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be bad. And I don't know if Joe Flacco's – I think he's going to come back down to earth. I don't think he's going to ruin the tank like a lot of people were worried about. Maybe, like, 35-14.
35-14 Chargers?
Yeah, Chargers, definitely.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it, but this is my last question before I let you go because I'm going to get back to these callers as well, Elias. I got a bunch of – everybody, please be patient. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get to you in a second. What are your thoughts on the comments Jamal Adams had about the New York Jets not wanting to win?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so apparently
– you know.
To my family. Anyone I know who has depression, I'm going to tell them, yo, you have depression? Move to Seattle. Then you're good. It'll go away. Or, like, what? Like, this dude doesn't understand. Depression is it's like a diagnosed thing. It's not, oh, I'm sad. That means I have depression. Oh, I'm losing. Like, if with his logic, every Jets fan has depression. And I'm pretty sure Seattle is, like, statistically the highest rate of depression in the country. So that's pretty funny. And then, you know, he goes on the Rich Eisen show, and he's like, yeah, man, I was depressed. But, you know, it's all love, man. But I had to make my move. I'm like, I'm so glad he's gone. And he's played like crap, and we got a haul for him. So, yeah, Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
If he hadn't lost all my respect before, he definitely lost all my respect this time. I was going to mention it, but I forgot about it for a sec. But, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. But what a clown, man.
Hey, you know, I'm just here to ask the questions. I want to hear from the people. You know, I know a lot of people had a lot
of
you know, different feelings about, you know, Jamal Adams, so on and so forth. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. But, again, Elias, I want to thank you for calling in, man. It was good to speak with you. Next time I have a show, bro, you definitely got to call in.
Of course, man.
All right, you have a good night, man.
You too.
Oh, man, Elias. Coming on, just absolutely dropping the fire here with us. Oh, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. He called in. He had quite a bit to say, you know, absolutely spilled everything, you know, how he felt about the Chargers game coming up, you know, how he felt about things going on around here. I mean, he had a lot to say, man. He had a lot to say and a lot to say about Jamal Adams as well. I know a lot of fans feel a certain type of way. Kind of is what it is, you know, but especially with the situation with the Jets in the secondary, the way things are looking, we all know, again, Poole's on IR, now Bless is on IR. You got the young guys coming in. We've got five corners left on the roster. You know, you got Hall, Jackson, Guntry, Millett, Ballantyne. You know, we got young guys. You're probably going to have Hall on Keenan Allen when we play the Chargers. It's going to be... We're going to see, you know, what these young corners have and what they're going to bring to the table. So before I get back to the callers, again, I got quite a bit. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. I'm going to go to the chat really, really fast. My savages in the chat, they love to get after it. They love to speak their minds, and I'm here to listen. Romeo Anthony, Salute to you, Romeo. Romeo in the chat says, Mims will get 5 catches in the first half, and we will ignore him in the second half. That seems to be the formula. Hey, you know, I can't knock Romeo. He's speaking the truth. There's some of the things that we've seen. We've seen that in the past. We've seen, you know, them go to Mims early. Things start going. Things are cooking. And then all of a sudden, boom, in the second half, we just go away from him, and there's just nothing there. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to figure out a way to consistently get that guy the football in his hands throughout the entire football game. And again, this is something that we're going to talk about as well going into this week, and we're going to watch it during the game is, hey, what kind of game plan is Loggins going to have? Is he going to be prepared for these second half adjustments the teams are going to make? Because we've seen it. We've seen him struggle this year with that. You know, whether it be even in, you know, late in the fourth quarter when teams really clamp down and figure out what we're doing and impress us and we're in critical moments, he can't get the job done. The play calling just falls apart. Things fall apart, and they eventually end up losing the game. We saw that against the Patriots. You know, we had a lead. Things were going well, and then the Patriots kind of turned up a little bit, and then we couldn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? So kind of is what it is. But we're going to get back to the chat in a second. I'm going to get back to these callers, okay? I'm going to get to these callers because let me tell you something. We got some people on the line that want to speak their minds, okay? So I'm going to go to next caller I have. I think it's Steve. I think Steve is calling in. He's going to give us his take. Steve, is this you? How are you doing today, my friend?
What's going on, Joe? How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right, Steve. I'm all right. I'm feeling good. It's good to speak to you again another week on my show, man. You know, phenomenal. Again, I want to thank you for calling in. And I want to get your thoughts on this. We're going to start with the Jets offense. How important is it for Flacco to come out and be aggressive in this football game?
It is going to be important. I mean, he's got to show some aggression that he did a couple of weeks ago against New England in the first half. I mean, got to show aggression. You got to throw the ball down the field. You got to adjust a really good game plan. Obviously, other things that have to happen is that you know, with this Chargers team. I mean, obviously, the biggest worry to worry about on that defense is their pass rusher, Joey Bosa. I mean, it's going to definitely be a challenge, and especially the fact that we have to travel across the country and go out to L.A. to play against the Chargers. I mean, one thing I'll be looking forward to in that game tomorrow is watching the Jets play in that beautiful new SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. I mean, that's definitely going to be one thing to look forward to tomorrow's game. But, I mean, the thing is, we're facing a Chargers team. They're a rebuilding team, just technically like we are. Well, technically, I mean, I don't know how long our rebuild is going to go, not like the Chargers rebuild. But the thing is, the Chargers this year have had so many heartbreaking losses. I mean, there were some
yes, they have.
Where they were in this and they just could never finish the job. I mean, a couple of games that I'll bring up when they lost on the last play of the game to Denver in Denver against the Broncos. When the backup tight end had that drop pass in the end zone when Las Vegas won the game.
Mm-hmm.
The other game that they had, which was really, really heartbreaking to them. Well, I mean, it was a game they blew, was the Monday night game in New Orleans back in October against the Saints. I mean, the thing is, the Chargers are a team. They're very competitive, and they're very, very, very talented. It's definitely going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it is, Steve. I told a lot of fans that, you know, because, again, and Elias kind of alluded to it earlier, there's a lot of Jets fans that think, hey, this is an easy walk. You know, the Chargers, you look at their record, they're not, you know, better than us. We can absolutely beat them. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like you said as well, Steve, and it seems like you've been watching them. I'm on the West Coast. I've checked some of their games. This is a highly competitive football team. They just had some, you know, heartbreaking things go on within the, you know, the throes of a football game, and they've, you know, found themselves on the losing end. But they've definitely been in a lot of games. They've definitely fight hard. They're, you know, like you said as well, they're a young team with a quarterback in Herbert that is – he looks really good. I mean, this kid can make throws. He can make pretty much all the throws in the NFL, and he's not afraid to let loose. And so I'm just concerned that, you know, some Jets fans are really taking this week easy and thinking we're just going to floor the Chargers. And I don't think that's the truth at all, especially like you said as well with the swinging coming West Coast. You know, you got to make sure you're prepared and ready. But my thoughts on this is, when you look at the situation offensively, we all know Sam Darnold's not playing. Flacco's going to be out there chucking this football around. I'm thinking, hey, we got to make sure that we get the ball in the hands of our young guys, of our young playmakers, the same way, you know, that the Chargers are doing. They're finding, making sure that guys get the ball in their hands and need to get the ball in their hands. And I'm looking at the situation. I'm thinking Mims has got to have a big day. I'm looking, you know, to really see him get a lot of targets, get a lot of catches, and be able, you know, to move the chains for us. I mean, Steve, how many yards do you think he'll end up having in this football game?
Yeah, no, Mims, right now I really, really can't predict of what Mims is going to do. It's just if I had to predict right now, I would like to see him get around, like, between 75 to 100. But the thing is, though, it just depends on what Flacco does with the offense. I mean, listen, Flacco definitely did try getting the ball to Mims more in the Monday night game against New England a couple of weeks ago. But now, as I look into this in the same way in this game, when I look at this, listen, the Chargers have a very dangerous offensive team. As a defensive team, they're not the best defensive team in the league. Their defense is okay, but what's going to make it tougher is for their defenses tomorrow is that the Chargers are at home, and that's what's going to make it tougher. I mean, way of how
well,
I look
wait
at
a second,
game
Steve.
Too
wait
is,
a second, Steve. Wait a second. Look, I'm not saying they're the greatest defense in the world, but I will say that they have some players that can get after it. When you're talking about guys like Melvin Ingram, when you're talking about guys like Chinna Nwosu, when you're talking about guys Hayward as well at corner, who I think is a decent corner, they also have, again, Bosa. And if you look at the situation we have here, we've struggled this year, you know, protecting, you know, our quarterback. We've struggled. We've seen it all throughout this year. Sam was taking hits. We saw Joe Flacco running for his life before, taking 28-yard sacks where he's just running backwards trying to just get out of there. Guys, we're having issues blocking our offensive line. Outside of Becton, who's been a bright spot, our offensive line is horrific. Horrific.
Yeah, no, the offense. Well,
Connor McGovern, that signing doesn't look, you know, he's very up and down. Fant's very up and down. So before, you know, you just say, hey, this defense, you know, yeah, they're going to be at home. No, this defense has some guys that can get after it, and we've got to make sure that we account for them, especially Bosa. You know, aren't you concerned about him taking over this game? Because he's that type of pass rusher. He's that good, Steve.
Yeah, no, it is a big concern. The thing is, Joey Bosa is a guy who I'm really, really concerned with. It's just I don't know what's going to – but like I said, that's the biggest thing that has to do with – and that's protection. I mean, listen – the Jets offensive line did have one good game this year, and that was our last game against New England. I mean, Joe Flacco only got sacked once, which was towards the end of the game a couple of weeks ago. But the thing is, though, the Jets offensive line's got to protect Sam. And the thing is, right now, the offensive line moves, you know, that Douglas has made this year. I mean, well, I'm talking about with Flacco, yes. But I'm talking about the offensive line. The offensive line has to do their job on tomorrow. If they don't do their job tomorrow, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, you're speaking facts there, Steve. And to go over to the defensive side, you know, because, again, you look at our defense, we're having some issues. I want to get your thoughts on us cutting Pierre Desir really quickly. But what are your thoughts about our secondary as well with him being gone? How do you feel going into this football game?
Yeah, the secondary is the one thing on the defense tomorrow that I'm going to be worried about, because the thing is the Chargers have two phenomenal receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, because they're both very good, talented receivers. And then when you look at our cornerback situation, listen, Pierre Desir is cut. That was the right move. He should have been cut a long time ago. Les Austin is now on IR and Brian Poole is out for the year. But now the one thing that you got to look forward to in the game tomorrow is what these young corners can do. But the thing is, though, like, because they're going to be going up against against offensive playmakers on the Chargers tomorrow. And honestly, I honestly have a feeling that tomorrow that there could be a possibility that Justin Herbert could have a field day tomorrow throwing against our secondary.
Man, you know, there's a big possibility, Steve. I mean, you're speaking fact. You look at this situation, you brought up a lot of great points, but, you know, you look at our corner situation, Bless Austin now on IR. You spoke about Pierre Desir, you know, getting cut as well. Thank goodness that guy was garbage. But now we're looking at the situation. We have Hall, Jackson, Guntry, Mallette. Ballantyne, Hall and Jackson are probably going to maybe be our number one or two corners, which means, hey, you're going to have Keenan Allen out there, you know, probably being covered by Hall. You got Williams out there again. A lot of people, you know, sleeping on Williams. That dude is a big physical wide receiver. You'll probably have Lamar Jackson on him. So, and I want to get your thoughts on this too. I'm very concerned with Hunter Henry, their tight end. This is a guy that is a playmaker. He's a very solid tight end in this league. When you look at the situation away from our corners, how do you think our linebacking core is going to be able to handle him? I mean, what do you think should be done? Do you think Marcus May should be brought down and he should be the guy that should be, you know, responsible for covering Henry? Or how would you handle that situation? Because Hunter Henry is a you know, a hell of a handful too.
Yeah, it's just the thing is that in that game tomorrow is with Hunter Henry is that, you know, it's that's definitely going to be an issue because I know we've had difficulty at times, you know, with linebackers covering our tight end. But yeah, the thing is, you got to put the pressure, you got to make Herbert uncomfortable. I mean, unfortunately, the Jets unfortunately couldn't put pressure on Cam a couple of weeks ago. You got to try to make this quarterback make rookie mistakes. I mean, listen, last week, Justin Herbert is, as of right now, coming off his worst rookie game of his rookie season. But the thing is, like, we got to make him make the mistakes like what the Dolphins did last week against the Chargers. I mean, it's definitely going to be a test tomorrow to go out to California and play against those Chargers, but we got to go out there. We got to play our hearts out. And hopefully we will get our first W, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that as well, Steve. You know, I'm hoping that we can go out there and take care of business. I mean, this is a Chargers team that, you know, has a lot to offer us, and especially with our secondary being as beat up as it is, I know it's just going to be really tough for us. And you talked a little bit about Herbert and making sure that he gets pressure on him. I mean, do you think that it's wise for Greg Williams to blitz the Chargers quite a bit, or how exactly – would you like to see us get pressure? I know a lot of people are saying, hey, maybe put Jordan Jenkins, try to put him in a position to, you know, hopefully try to get something going on as a pass rusher. I mean, what do you think that we should do? Should we just send the house at Herbert consistently?
Yeah, no. We got it on some plays during the game. You got to try and blitz them. Like, you got to make Herbert uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You got to make him feel like he is a rookie quarterback and make him make rookie mistakes. Because if you don't do that, then he's just going to throw all over the field against us.
Yeah. And also with Quinnen Williams being back into the lineup, it looks like he's going to be playing in his football game. What are your expectations of him, man? Because I know some people feel like he's done enough, but there's quite a bit of fans that feel like they haven't seen enough from him this season. What are your thoughts about him, and what do you think that he'll do in this football game against this Chargers offensive line?
Yeah, no, the thing is, having Quinnen Williams back is definitely going to be a good upgrade because, obviously, it should hopefully help us get more of a rush against Herbert. It definitely is going to be a help, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Steve, what is your final score prediction for the Chargers versus the Jets?
Here is my thing. I think the Jets are gonna definitely play another good competitive game tomorrow against the Chargers. But unfortunately, I got to give the edge to the Chargers because I do think the Chargers have a better team with the fact that they have a rookie quarterback and we have the veteran. So I'm going to have to go with 27 Chargers, 17 Jets tomorrow.
Wow. You said 27 Chargers, 17 Jets?
Correct.
Yes. Well, Steve, listen, I hear you. You know, not a lot of people taking the Jets today, and I feel you. My final question for you, though, Steve, is what are your thoughts about Jamal Adams' comments about the Jets not wanting to win?
You know something? Listen, Jamal Adams, I honestly used to really love the guy, and at first I really wanted him to come back and get him the contract extension. But honestly, the way how he acted – and talked about depression like that, it was a very, very, very disgusting act. And now, honestly, to this day, now I am glad that we got rid of him. Because if he was still on our team to this day, he would have caused a lot of drama on the team. And honestly, there would have been issues around the team. Luckily, there isn't drama around this team. I mean, obviously, there really isn't too much of it. But the thing is now the thing with the Jamal Adams situation, now that's in Seattle's hands. Because the thing is, you don't know if Seattle is really going to give him that kind of money after when the season is over in the offseason going into 2021. So you know what? In a way, Joe Douglas hit a home run with that trade.
Wow, yeah. I know a lot of people that feel the exact same way, Steve. You know, I mean, we did end up getting two firsts, you know. So we got some firsts, and we ended up, you know, as well with a third-round pick. So, you know, it was a solid move. We got a solid move for a guy that I thought we needed to move on from. And, you know, it is what it is. But it's just, you know, it's crazy to see him, you know, continue to, you know, throw shots at the Jets. We've seen him do it in the past, too, especially when he first got traded to Seattle. We saw him continuously, you know, throwing shots, and now he's speaking, you know, that, you know, about how he felt while he was here and how he needed to get out of here as soon as possible. So, you know, I definitely want to get your thoughts on that, Steve, because you're one heck of a fan and you know what you're talking about, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man. Joe, have a good night, man.
All right, you have a good night, Steve.
All right, bye.
Woo! Steve calling in. Listen, bringing the fire. I respect Steve. I respect him, you know. He took the Chargers as well. You know, there's quite a bit of people taking the Chargers. You know, I understand it. This team, you know, this Jets team, we have not won a game yet this year. Things are not looking good. We got guys on IR. You know, situation is just, it's not panning out well. I don't want us to go 0-16. I'll tell you that. That's not what I want. That's definitely not what I want. But this team's not looking good. Not looking good. Again, 515-602-9639. 515-602-9639 is the number if you want to call in. I'm going to go to my savages in the chat, man. There's a lot of people going off right now. And they got quite a bit of callers. I will get right back to the callers in 1 second. I'm going to go to the chat really, really quickly. And I want to hear everyone's thoughts. So going to the chat, Cliff in the chat. Yo, salute to you, Cliff. Cliff says, Becton, if healthy, can handle Bosa. I've seen him do it all year. Okay. I respect that. I think that Mekhi Becton is a phenomenal tackle. We've seen it. We've seen him, you know, be phenomenal this year. We've seen him take some guys that are, you know, credible veterans in this league and put their nose in the dirt. We've seen him do it. We've absolutely seen him do it. But, you know, again, let me tell you something. This is Bosa. I'm not trying to go crazy. I'm just saying this is Bosa. You know what I mean? This dude is serious business. I don't want to, you know, cut him short. I don't want to, you know, disrespect him. We're going to see, though, because he's going to be tested. And, there's other guys coming on down the line as well that's going to test us. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, pass rushers. And again, the Chargers can move him over to that other side. And I think he just gets gobbled up or I think he just completely eats up George Fant. So I want to see how the Jets account for him, because you have to figure out some way to keep him blocked. So we're going to go back to the lines. My guys in the chat, please keep going off. We're going to get back to these lines, though, man. First call I'm going to 984. It's my guy from North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? I want to get your thoughts, my man, on what the Jets are coming into in this football game against the Chargers. I want to thank you for calling in. Give me your thoughts about Pierre Desir being cut.
Well, it's about time. I know the performance has been lacking for quite a while. Because the way I see it now, we had such hopes, you know, that we put together a solid group. I know we didn't expect any of them to be Ray Mickens or Jarrell Revis or anything of that, anything like that, but it was sorely lacking. We've been struggling ever since Revis, so sadly.
Yeah.
I think the only thing we can do is cut our losses, and, you know, he didn't need to be there. We need to cut him, and we need to cut Chris Herndon, too. He better be glad we don't have a coach like a young Jimmy Johnson, a young Bill Parcells. They were kicking his behind, so there's no excuse for him to be doing what he's doing. I can kind of see if, you know, he didn't have the ability. He's kind of like a little Rudy story, and, he, you know, they weren't that much expectation, or Wayne Corbett, you know what I'm saying, little guy. But to have the tools he has and that underperform the level he has is just, it's disgraceful. It's sickening.
Yeah. It is. It is. You know, I know a lot, like I'm going to keep telling people that. People that hit me up in my inbox consistently about Chris Herndon, Joel, you just really going. No, Chris Herndon sucks. He sucks. Like, he's so bad. It's ridiculous. His route running is horrific. He can't keep the ball. He's fumbling.
Fumbling and bumbling. That's bad. When I look at the history of the franchise, I remember when I was coming up, Mickey Shuler, they were always dependable. And even for a time, most of his tenure, what's the other dude, Dag? You know what I'm talking about. He played with Sanchez. You know what I'm talking about. Dustin Keller.
Dustin Keller.
Good. I think his final year was a wash. But other than that, he'd been a very very productive player, and he's one of the few players we had that actually gave the Patriots some problems, and Belichick never figured him out. You know, we kind of gave him his own medicine with Keller a little bit, you know. But it's really, really sickening to see Herndon perform at the level, you know, because the way Crowder's performing, that's the way we expected Chris Herndon to perform. You know, a lot of catches, maybe about 60-something yards, you know, losing effort. Maybe give us 50, 60-something yards receiving, maybe out of three or four catches or whatever. We expect to see some productivity, but all this fumbling and stumbling and bumbling, you know, he better be glad we don't have a good, competent coach. His butt would have hit that cement before his feet did. He would have been cut a long time ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's horrific. It's horrific.
It's supposed to be hard on the guys that have the expectations, the guy that's supposed to be good. And, you know, the expectations for him this year was to have a big year, a breakout year. So, you know, prior to that, he had a little nagging injury, and then the suspension. And that was kind of a red flag at that time. But we tried to cut him a break because we saw such upside potential and we saw the potential rewards. But looking at it now, it's a wash, man. I don't know what to do with that. It's going to be a step cut. I'm already looking ahead to the draft.
I mean, there's so many things that we're gonna need to, you know, evaluate going forward, and so many things, so many holes that we're gonna have to fill in the draft. But that tight end spot is definitely probably gonna be, you know, one of them. I don't know how high it is gonna be up on the list, but it's definitely gonna be one of the spots we need to fill. But one of the guys that's really stepped up from our draft is Mims. I mean, how many catches do you think he'll have against the Chargers?
If they throw him the ball, he could have at least 7 or 8 catches, 7 to 9, I think, if they throw him the ball. And looking at Gase's tendencies, he might get half that if he's lucky. You know, Gase might let him get a little something early and get into it. We'll get all excited. He'll rack up 30, 40-something yards in the first half. You say, yeah, he's going to give him the ball. Nope. You might see one little bubble screen, you know, the typical BS. One little bubble screen, that's it. He'll disappear the rest of the game. He'll think there's something wrong with Mim. No, there's nothing wrong with Mim. He's just not drawing up plays, you know, to get him in, get him into the flow of the game. There's nothing wrong with Mim.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys excited about, you know.
Yep.
Since Brandon Marshall,
that's been one of the biggest issues as well. Is that, like, and you talked a little bit about it too, is the game flow, getting Mims going, and you thinking, hey, this is a guy, okay, he's hot, and then all of a sudden we just kind of taper off and go away from him for the rest of the game. We've talked about that damn near every week. You know, whether it's he gets stuff early and then in the second half we see nothing, or we see him, you know, maybe get a couple catches and it's like, okay, he's got 4 catches for, you know, 50 yards or something like that. It's like, come on, we got to see more. We got to see this kid get more targets. I mean, it's mind blowing.
We're not going to really see him flourish until we get a new coach in there. I think once we get a new coach in there and run a normal, halfway normal offense like we're supposed to, then you'll see him featured and highlighted like I think he will be. I can just only hope that we add a compliment to him, that we find, to me, he's tune like. You know, he's got the tall, long legs and long body. He's going to be a matchup nightmare.
Yep.
If we get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like Trevor Lawrence with his raw tools, and we tighten that line up, and they start going to him on a regular tip, he could be a really strong possession type guy. And I think occasionally give him some deep stuff, some fades, you know, like a flexible burst, catch those fades out, or like Al didn't get to the Giants back in the day. He jumped one of the defenders for a touchdown. I could see at some point Mims doing that kind of thing, because I became aware of him through Brett Coleman, you know, another YouTuber. he's pretty well known, just like our guy over here for the Jets, doing a lot of analysis and breaking down film.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett did a YouTube piece on him prior to the draft. I took a look at it. He was Brett. I said, Brett, he was pretty good. So I really take a look and see what he's talking about. And the film study he had on Mims was magnificent. I said, what? He reminded me of bits and pieces of different wideouts. Pieces of him remind me of Moss and Toon with the tall, lanky body, and then Michael Irvin getting off the line of scrimmage, using his hands, not letting you jam him so easy. I said, wow, could we get this guy? I was like dreaming of this dude after I saw that video, and then we got him. I was like, whoa, we traded down. I thought we were going to take him initially, and then I heard we traded. I said, oh, my God, we're going to lose him.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, what? I think Douglas had some inside tip. You never know. A lot of stuff we're not privy to. If all them GMs talking, they probably already knew he was going to fall. So that's why he traded out of that slot, which was excellent. We got the other compensatory picks, the other picks we needed, and went on and got him anyway. Now all we need to do is get him a compliment. Now for what I'm hearing, there's some other speedy type wideouts that are in college that could be, we won't have to take in the first round. It'll probably be there for a second, third round. Just a speedy type. To compliment him, that Wesley Walker that can just run the fly routes, the sub-4.3s, you know what I'm saying? To keep defenses honest is probably what we'll need to compliment Mims. And obviously we're going to need a tight end, and it's no telling what we'll do with this first pick. But I think we're looking very smart to trade Jamal Adams.
And I want to get your thoughts on that. You know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts on Jamal Adams' comments? about the Jets not wanting
to
win.
It looks like to me at this point with Jamal is I never thought this. I say this about Jamal. It looks like he's his own worst enemy, and sadly, it looks like he just can't help himself, and he's just digging a deeper and deeper hole. He better get that yellow over there in Seattle. They're not us. Mm. As much as I love my Jets, they're not us. They got it together down there. You know what I'm saying? There's a different expectation with the base, probably the media, everybody. Pete Carroll, he better get it together and get his act together and start playing some good football. Otherwise, they're not going to extend him. He's going to wind up playing elsewhere. I don't see him finishing in Seattle. I'd be surprised if they extend him, you know what I'm saying, because he's just a box safety. Though with us, he performed at his peak as a box safety, and I don't think the same thing would happen to Seattle.
Yeah, but you know, he is just a box safety.
You were right. I mean, initially, I think last year when it was brewing, you were talking about it. I mean, it's not like when you were on the other part, not like I over respected you. It's not like I didn't believe you, but I said, what? It's like you were seeing stuff that I just couldn't see. I couldn't see, you know, because, you know, we had been wanting a good safety, you know. For a long time, even when he had Rex, you know, he wanted a safety like Jamal. Don't get me wrong, I like Kerry Rose. Something happened between Kerry and Rex. I don't know if Rex liked Kerry, but anyway, you know, Jamal was the closest thing we had to our own Troy Polamalu caliber safety. You know, somebody that could come down, you know what I'm saying? I was hoping the other dude, you know what I'm talking about, the other cat that we drafted that Rex had took, that was a bust. You know what I'm talking about? He's supposed to be that sledgehammer, that box guy that would come down and intimidate running backs. And then give quarterbacks a little something to think about. And, you know, that pick didn't pan out. And then Jamal came along, and he was everything we wanted the other guy to be. You know what I'm saying? He had attitude. He had swagger. He had all the right instincts. He seemed to never miss a tackle. He was always in the right place at the right time. Now, I'm not going to say he's Ed Reed. You know, Ed Reed was unique. As far as that deep safety, that ball hawk, you know, you don't often find that kind of safety. A lot of safeties can't play the way Ed Reed does. I think the closest I've seen to that is Polamalu. Polamalu was
here's the deal.
And knock your head off like a box and drop back and make one hand interception like a ball hawk. So, you know, that's one of a kind, one in a million for Polamalu. So, you know.
Here's the deal, you know, and you know, I don't want to go too much into it because, you know, people know. I don't have any ill will at all for Jamal Adams, whatever. I never did. I just saw that he was a box safety. And you get, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's just what he's good at. And in today's NFL, when we talk about impact positions, and that's why I'll continue to talk about impact positions, and especially going into the offseason because there's a lot of things that, you know, that we're going to need to have fixed about this football team. One of the reasons why we're bad is because we're bad at impact positions. And counting on him to be a pass rusher or thinking that he was like – he's just none of those things. Yes, he did get sacks here, but a lot of that was schemed. He's coming off as a free rusher in a lot of those schemes. And guess what? He's blitzing when you do that. When you blitz, you know, your secondary get exposed, especially if they pick it up. So there's just a lot of issues there, and I thought that we could trade him and use those picks to really continue to build this football team the way it should be built. And, you know,
you're
I'm glad that we did eventually make the move.
When I looked at the value of what we got for him, I never thought we were going to get 2-1s. I was thinking, you know, the word out is a 1-3. And that's what I thought. My mind thought thinking that way. Maybe a 1-3, I'd be happy for that. And then I heard 2-1s or 3 in a state. I'm like, what in the world? I mean, what were they talking about behind the scenes that he got 2-1, a 3,
you know,
and a serviceable safety? Wow.
Yeah, Joe Douglas really, I mean, he really swung, you know, and hit something right there. So it was good that he got the, you know, got the capital back. That was what was big. Getting that capital back, getting stuff back so that we can continue to build this football team means so much. But, you know, I got a couple of other callers I want
to
get to as well.
Go
ahead.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take our cap and take our draft pick and pour, in my opinion, pour everything we have into the offensive side of the football. Don't get me wrong. I know the defense needs some pieces, but it's a time for us to put our emphasis on offense. And I know only 11 men can get on the field. So if we put our cap in drafting, it's going to be more than 11 men. But I'm thinking about our overall depth. I'm thinking about building our offensive line and replenishing our overall talent. Mims can't do it by himself. Becton can't do it himself. They need help. You know?
Man, let me tell you. I'm going to continue this show throughout the offseason. I'm going to do it year-round. Let me tell you something. That is going to be one of my takes. I'm just going to tell y'all this early. We need to pour into the offense. Period.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no
don't
we don't need
to,
we don't need to consistently invest into the defense.
That
time is over. This is an offensively driven league. I keep saying this because that's literally what it is. If you do not have an offense that can keep up with these, you know, other top offenses that we're seeing, these guys that are going to the playoffs that are scoring, you know, 30 points damn near every game. 30-plus points damn near every game.
They
will blow the doors off. If you can't keep up with that, you're done. And that time has come to where we need to make a decision, and we need to do whatever it takes to better this offense. This offensive line has major holes on it. Like you said as well, Mims cannot do it by himself. You need to get other targets here. You must do whatever you can to better this offense, and that means we need to pour it all into the offense.
There are a couple guys on my list, Rashad Bateman. Waddle, Rashad Bateman, what's the cat name? Kyle Pitts, Travis Etienne.
Yeah,
I'm expecting him to slide. I don't know how far down, but we do have a pick. We may be close enough to scoop him up. You know what I'm saying? I got a little list of names that in the upcoming weeks when we start talking, I'm going to go over with him. I'm going to be glad to. You know?
Oh, yes. Listen, and we can talk, and you know, and I'm going to tell y'all again because I want to get my takes out a little bit earlier so people don't say that I'm copying their takes. I'm telling you. If we get a top pick, I'm going to be screaming trade down. And I might scream trade down more than once. I might be screaming that.
You talking about from
that
top
position? I'm just letting y'all know early.
Yeah, it's possible. Looking at the offensive talent that's going to be out there, the skill talent that's going to be available in that first round, I think all the way down to that second pick, there's going to be somebody that's going to slide past. It could be Rashad Bateman. Travis Etienne with running back being devalued. You know, I love his skill set, but he could slide down. He could be the guy we could scoop up right at the top of the second round. People might be shocked that dude's available in the second round, the first pick of the second round.
Yep.
I mean, all that could happen, you know. But we got to address this offense. Yep. We got to start getting serious. I'm really scared and nervous, you know. I've been scared and nervous for the last couple of years about Buffalo, and all of a sudden I'm hearing reports now about Miami. I'm like, oh, my God.
Listen, and the thing that's so beautiful about this situation as well, and that's why I love talking to you, because you always, I'm telling you, you always pull my future takes out of me every single time. But the thing that's beautiful about our situation is you do it every time you call in. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to talk about the game, and then somehow you get me to start talking about how I feel about us going forward in the draft and free agency. And so you do it every time. You get me every time, and I just go.
A lot of these ideas I throw out at you, you know, I've been conceiving on for months and months. And at the same time, I'm trying to see how we match up to our divisional rivals. I have great respect for the Buffalo Bills and compliments to them for what they did. They did the right thing. It was like Miami. It's like everybody's division doing the right thing except for us. Miami got a good coach, putting good time together. Buffalo got a good coach, putting good time together. Yeah. We better get it together. We ain't got much time.
Yeah, but the thing that they also did well, too, though, the thing that they also did well was not only did they get a good coach, but they made sure that they used their capital correctly and they built around their young franchise quarterback. And that's what I think is going to be huge for us, you know, going forward. I don't want to go too far forward, but the next coaching hire that we have, he has to be the right guy. We can't fire Adam Gase, and we should fire Adam Gase. There's nothing that should save him this season. I don't give a damn if we win five games.
They can't sell him to anyone. They can't sell him to people who buy on the PSA. You know, since they got into the new stadium, you hear about the PSLs and all. They can't sell that stuff to them. Not bringing Gase back here. And to tell you the truth, if you keep Gase on, you don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to decide to do. He may see that situation, see us as a joke, and decide, no, I'm going to stay with I'm going to stay back in.
Exactly. And that's why getting the right guy in here, that number one is getting the right head coach in here. Getting the right head coach, and I think number two is making sure that you get the right talent in here to continue to build around your franchise quarterback, excuse me. You continue to build around your franchise quarterback to better your offense. You got to use your pieces. And that's what I was saying with what's so beautiful about our situation is, even though it looks really bad right now, and it does, we have the capital and we have the potential to gain even more capital to honestly turn this around in a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years. We have the capital to do that. We have the picks from Seattle. We have our own pick. Yeah. If you trade down and you gain more capital, that means more players. And we truly have a chance to do that. And that's why I've been a big proponent. I know everyone loves Trevor Lawrence, and I completely understand that. I get why everyone loves Trevor Lawrence. I think he's phenomenal. Yeah. But if you really want to push this football team forward, if you really want to get cooking on rebuilding and turning the team around, then you trade down. Because guess what? We've seen what happens when you have a very talented quarterback. I mean, everybody talks about it. We ruined Sam Darnold. That's what everyone's saying. Yeah. And it's because he came in here, we saw flashes, we knew he had the talent, but we never surrounded it with enough. And I could see us doing the same thing to Trevor Lawrence, even though we're trying to build, you know, we're putting him in a situation where he can't be successful because he doesn't have the targets and he doesn't have the protection and he doesn't have the things that we need him to have to, you know, ascend as a quarterback. So I'm a big proponent of trading down, and I'm going to continue to say that throughout until the, you know, to the draft, the offseason, everything. That's going to be that's my take.
You're
I'm standing right about that right now.
Trading down. I don't know if you remember when I called in some weeks before. I had made that proposal and throw that out to you to see what you're going to say. Because don't get me wrong, I really like the possibility of getting Trevor Lawrence, but to tell you the truth, we're not ready. The offensive line is in a state of flux at best, and that's not good for a young quarterback like Trevor, even with his confidence and everything they say he's got going on. We don't have all the skill talent. Right now, we've got Mims and Crowder. And how long is Crowder going to be with us? Maybe one more year, and we don't know what his option is going to be beyond 2021. Chris Herndon's been a massive disappointment. We don't know who the other wide receiver pair is, been injury prone. Yes, you're right.
He's on a one-year deal, but he's not even going to be here next year. Perryman's not guaranteed to be here next year at all because he's on a one-year deal. So he's probably going to be gone out the door.
Not tied long-term, you know, with his injury history and stuff. You know, that's kind of smart that we didn't make a long-term, like a tag that might have done. It messed us up, been there 4 or 5 year contract and been stuck with him, you know, having to make it work. I think we got a GM. I like Joe Douglas, got some sense. And looking at his tendencies, I would not be surprised if he doesn't make some kind of trade down. If he doesn't trade down with that first pick, keep your eye out for that other pick you got for Seattle. Look for him to trade down with that pick and let the board fall to him. Especially if we got that pick in the second round.
And that was one of my takes as well. Is that utilizing that second pick that we have from Seattle, which probably going to be in the 20s, maybe mid 20s, something like that. You know, depending on where they finish.
That's right.
You look at that. Let me tell you something. You trade down maybe once or maybe twice. You know, maybe you trade down a couple spots and you trade down again, maybe to the top of the second round. The second round is where you're going to feast. If you look at the second round of this past draft where we got Mims, right? You look at the top of the second round, though, Mike Pittman was there. There was a bunch of guys that was there that really could have helped us. I was screaming for Mike Pittman as well. Think about if we get maybe – what if we would have traded down or tried to finagle something? Maybe we make the trade for Jamal Adams, right, and we send him to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So we could have ended up with CeeDee Lamb. But if CeeDee Lamb's not there, we trade down to the top of the second round, we probably end up with Mike Pittman and Mims. That's two instead of one.
Wow.
Now think about how a wide receiver core would look with those two young guys and, you know, a future. There's so many possibilities and so many things that you can do. It's like you've got to do whatever you can to better this football team. And we are not in a position.
For a while, trading that top pick in 2021. And the reason I'm even contemplating it is because of Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts. That's the only reason that thought's in the back of my mind, because I want them bad. Now, you imagine how potentially scary our receiving core would be if you have a Kyle Pitts roaming around with that lanky wide receiver body at tight end. What linebacker is going to match up to him? Are you kidding
me? And not just that, though. Not just that, but here's another door that opens up. And I'm just keep – because you taking me there, man. I'm just going to keep getting these takes out here. Not only that, right? Not only can you draft players with the picks, if you trade down with the extra capital you get, you can trade for players that are already in the league. Look at all the names that we have that are being thrown out there at wide receivers. OBJ is constantly thrown out as being a trade target. Juju Smith-Schuster is constantly thrown out there as being a trade target. Allen Robinson's name has been out there as a trade target. We have issues in free agency. We all know that we drastically have to overpay free agents to come here, right? So do you want to go into free agency and try to battle for a guy who honestly is – you're going to be his last option on his list? I always look back to, like, this last free agency where we literally go back and read the reports. We called Fant multiple times to try to get him to come here, and he didn't pick up our calls until we were pretty much the last team.
But
you know, you look
what?
At Anthony Barr, where he did a handshake deal with us and then felt physically sick and then walked away from us. I mean, you've got to figure out a way where, you know, you could get a guy in here and you know, if it makes sense to trade for him, especially a wide receiver that's going to, again, continue to propel your offense and move forward with the young weapons you have, I don't see why we can't do that either. If we trade down and get enough capital – one of those picks could literally turn into a very solid veteran wide receiver, something we're looking for as we continue to get young players in this draft. I'm telling you, there's so many things that
I wouldn't be opposed
with the capital
that
we have.
But you know what? Unfortunately, with the state of this team, we're not going to realistically be able to get the top-tier free agents, at least for another year. Let's say we land the cat from San Francisco. There's been some rumors, you know, the two brothers, one of them coming here. Let's say we land them, right? We get Trevor on. We have an excellent draft. Joe Douglas does what he did this prior draft. Everything we're proposing. Trades down with that second pick. Trades down with that pick in the top of the second round. Parlays that into, you know, numerous picks. And we hit on half of those picks and start to really turn it around. Then 2022, it could be on. Then all of a sudden, maybe some of the free agents that would have laughed at us and might have used us, you know, leverage against other teams for higher bids for their services, they might actually consider signing with us, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is,
we can turn it
thing,
around. It just
going
to take time to prove ourselves, you know, prove ourselves to everyone, the prognosticators, you know, who are laughing at us and joking about us, the players that are out there that wouldn't even give us the time of day, you know, because we've been run so poorly. We got to prove ourselves. 2021 is the year to prove it. We've got to get our head coach.
Yeah.
We've got to get this quarterback situation right, and hopefully that'll be the foundation I'm looking for. Then the energy around this team, the fans, everyone, it'll be like we can finally exhale. We'll be feeling so much better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you, and I'm big on making sure that we get the right guys in here as well, and I understand that people want the free agents. I do like free agents too, but let me tell you something. If we can get a lot of – I'm more focused on the draft because of the situation that we've been in for so long, because of how free agency has gone for us, and I think that if we can get the right guys in here from the draft, especially a lot of these young players, maybe sprinkle in a trade or here or there – for a veteran guy, you know, like I said, one of those big wide receiver names that we constantly talk about with the capital that we've gotten from a trade down. Let me tell you something. We can be much better, much faster. Because I'm tired. I don't want to spend another 3 to 4 years trying to figure out and build this. That's a 10-year rebuild.
I don't think it's going to take that long.
I believe if we do this thing right,
and ownership doesn't meddle and stick their nose in it and let Joe Douglas be the mechanic to work on the car and don't stick their noses in it, if the ownership is not stupid enough to interfere, let this man run the show. Get Adam Gase out of there. He should have never been our coach to begin with. It was stupid. The fans knew it. Everybody knew it, except our bumbling, knuckleheaded owners. Hopefully they finally, you know, wake up and smell the coffee and get him out of there and let Joe Douglas totally take over this program to where there's no question about who runs the show. Now with Gase there, there's a cloud over this thing. We don't really know who's running things until we get Gase out of there. Then there'll be no question that Joe Douglas is the man. I know he'll be glad. He probably won't say nothing publicly, but I know he'll be glad, too, where, you know, there won't be anything hanging over his head. He'll be totally in charge.
Yeah.
I think by 2022, by the time we break camp, looking at how Joe Douglas has handled the draft and free agency, we will be competitive and we will be a threat by 2022. Mark it down.
Yeah.
And remember I told you this.
Yeah.
By 2022, we'll be dangerous as hell. If we get our head coach and if we get Trevor Lawrence, it's on. I'm telling you, it's on.
Okay.
And then all the other dominoes we've been talking about are going to start falling in place. All of a sudden, all the free agents we've been talking about, they wouldn't even consider us. In the back of their mind, it's, oh, no, now. They got Harbaugh, and then all of a sudden they got Trevor Lawrence, and they lighting it up over there and kind of putting out a great effort and playing really good. Oh, no, this might be the time to go to the Jets. Similar to the way it was when Rex Ryan, you remember Rex Ryan came to us? All of a sudden, we make a big move now. We got the guard, Alan Faneca. Our line was already coming together. We got Alan Faneca, and then we got Damian Woody. And from what I understand, I heard we converted Brandon Moore from a defensive lineman into a guard, which is interesting. And then with the six-round picks, the little quiet one, we got the Brickerson Ferguson, Dick Mangold. And then the year after that, 2010, we acquired Cromartie. And Santonio Holmes, I think it was a falling out with Santonio Holmes and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that worked in our favor. We didn't have to give up that much.
There was a lot we had to do to put that squad together.
There was quite a bit we had to do to put that squad together. Eric Mangini, from what I understand, I don't think he got the proper credit and recognition until later on. We really found out more details about how that team was put together. The acquisition of Darrell Revis, you know, all-time great corner. You know what I'm saying? The draft of Nick Mangold, the Grickishaw Ferguson. A lot of little things were happening quietly. And, you know, obviously we weren't satisfied because we were ready to win for years prior to Rex's coming aboard. And then once we got Rex, we got Faneca, the top guard in the NFL at the time, or one of the better guards out there. And then I could feel it at that time. I was really talking, wow, all of a sudden this thing is coming together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that team was a beautiful team, and, you know, the situation that we're in right now is tough, but we're going to figure out
going forward.
But I got to, you know, keep going because I got quite a bit of callers left, and I got to get back to
these
things. It's always great to talk to you. But my final question for you is, before I let you go, give me your final score prediction for this Jets and Chargers game.
Looking at the defense, it's going to be 28-10. I got to throw in the safety.
2018.
You know how I do.
Chargers?
And 2 points for safety. Yep. 2018 Chargers.
2018
Tech
Chargers.
Mode is in effect.
All right.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Hey, man, listen, I want to thank you for calling in. It was good to speak with you. Next time I have a show, my friend, I want to hear from you. You know, especially we're going to continue forward. I know you want to call in. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about free agency as well.
And
so it was good to speak
to you,
my man. You have a good night.
Giving me this length of time that was very generous of you. I know you got all other calls on the line, and I don't want to disrespect them. And I thank you very much for giving me the time. My pleasure.
Absolutely, my friend. You have a good night.
You too, buddy.
All right. Woo, let me tell you something. All right, that guy from North Carolina, he calls in. You know what I'm saying? He calls in. He represents his Carolina. But he's a Jets fan. You know what I'm saying? He's a Jets fan. You know, he grew up, you know, in New York. He talks about it all the time. And let me tell you something. He knows what he's talking about. And he's excited. He is passionate about this football team. He had a lot of great takes. And I know a lot of people, you know, want to talk about different things. I try not to go too far ahead. You know, I like to cover game by game, week by week here. But let me tell you, I got some takes for the future of this football team and what I think we should be doing. You know, and trading down, particularly in the draft, I think is going to be huge for us. It's going to be huge for us to be able to stack capital and then also stack the talent there as well. So, again, 515-602-9639, 515-602-9639. You can call in. You know, I know I have some callers. You know what I'm saying? I apologize to anyone that I dropped. You know, please call in, 515-602-9639. I'd love to speak to everyone. I'm going to get back to this chat in a second, though. I'm going to come to the callers in a second, but I'm going to go to this chat, you know what I'm saying? Because the chat, they got some things to say. You know what I'm saying? They got some things to say. Romeo in the chat, salute to you, Romeo. Romeo says, Becton is so fun to watch, but this team will hurt him if they have no regards for his health. That's true. You know, we saw some issues earlier this year where he had shoulder injury, and he was put out there even though he had the shoulder injury, and that caused issues as well. You know what I'm saying? So as long as we're, you know, careful with him going forward, I think we should be all right. Hopkins in the chat, yo, salute to you, Cliff Hopkins. Cliff Hopkins says, the young corners will gain valuable experience for next season going forward. I have no problem with playing the rookies in the secondary. Yeah, yeah, you know, I hear you. And that's why it's so big for us to get these young players in there, man. You know, give them a chance. Go out there and figure out who these guys are. Give them some experience. Allow them to continue to, you know, get some plays in. Figure out what they need to improve on, you know, figure out if they even have a trait of a player that you think you can move forward with. Do whatever you can. Kiltic, yo, salute to you, Kiltic. Kiltic says, he's talking about Denzel Mims. He says, watch him get one or two targets in the second half after having a monster catches in the first half. He said, it's almost so predictable. I hope not. I hope not. I hope that they finally figure it out and allow Mims to, you know, be a bigger focal point in the game. You got to figure out how to get the ball in this kid's hand, you know, early and often. Because, again, we've seen the plays. We've seen him make plays. Some of the catches that he's made has been phenomenal this year. So much going on with him. And we've also seen him just continue to get lost in the second half. You know, that's not good. That's really, really not good. So with all that said, I'm going to give my takes on a couple of things here. Then we're going to wrap up the show. Again, I want to thank everyone for calling in. It was phenomenal to speak to everyone. So many great callers. I look at this situation. Going up against these Chargers, our secondary, I'm really concerned about Hall and Jackson on Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I'm also worried about Hunter Henry really getting loose, breaking loose and doing his thing. You know, Flacco again is starting. I'm wondering how, you know, aggressive offensively we're going to be, especially if he's, you know, throwing the football downfield. I have no problem with him coming out and being aggressive, but he's got to be cautious. Like, he can't just chuck balls up there like he was doing against the Patriots, and he had a crucial interception. You got to be smart about where you're throwing that ball. You know, we don't need turnovers, especially against this football team, because, again, Herbert's a kid that I think can really get after it. Again, I want to see Mims, P. Ryan. I want to see those guys get the ball in their hands. This should be a game where young players are really allowed to go out there and attack. The matchup between Becton and Bosa, man, this is going to be something to watch here. Because, again, this is one of the better pass rushers in the league. He's going to be tested. We're going to have to see, you know, where is Becton ready for a guy like him? Again, we've seen it from time to time. You know, we've seen him attack different people. So I want to see, you know, can he get after it? Can he, you know, do what it takes to, you know, really kind of stiff this guy out. Is Bosa going to get a sack in this game? I think that's going to be huge too. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered there. You know, and I want to see how these guys attack. But before I, you know, really give them go to my take, you know, and give you my score prediction, I want to go back to the calls for just a second. We got a caller calling in here, and I want to get your thoughts, caller, on this matchup between the Jets and the Chargers. How are you feeling about this matchup going into this football game?
Joe, I'll explain our son of a month for you. Nauseating. This game is going to be downright ugly. I mean, the Jets are bad at the home, but they're even worse on the road. This is going to be murder. I mean murder with a capital M.
Wow. Okay, I mean, let us know. Go ahead.
I'm not holding nothing back. I mean, you know, we've had our chances, you know, all year. We had a chance against New England at home, and that got messed up in the last second of the game. And now we're going to begin the Chargers, who have been better since they got rid of what's his name. And, you know, because actually, I think the Chargers were going to do worse this year, but they have shown how they have come alive. And, you know, us on the road, I mean, our defense, you know, was bad enough as it is. Okay, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hear you. And I'm concerned as well with the West Coast swing. I'm wondering if we're going to come out and be, you know, look like we're just sleepwalking, because we've seen that in the past as well with this football team. And you talked about some things. You know, I know you don't think we can be able to compete, but how many catches do you think Mims gets in this football game? And do you think he should be a big focal point of the offense? Do you think he should get a ton of targets?
But repeat the second part of the question.
Mims, do you think he should get a ton of targets in this football game against the Chargers?
I don't think so. Well, I think he will. He will get a ton of targets, and, you know, like I said, their offense, you know, is better than our defense. So it's like a mismatch, to be honest with you.
Wow. So are you concerned that Bosa is just going to take over this game and just pretty much destroy us offensively? I mean, he's a pass rusher that has the talent to do that.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. You know, I think the odds are that, you know, Bosa's going to, you know, run amok.
Wow. Wow. Look, I hear you. Yeah. What is your final score prediction for the game?
118-2. Ugh. No. It's going to be bad enough. I mean, I'm going to say it's going to be 42-14.
Whew. 42-14. 42-14 Chargers. Wow. Oh, man. Before I let you go, what is your final what are your thoughts about the comments of Jamal Adams about the New York Jets, you know, not wanting to win and him, you know, basically not
That's
being
crazy.
Able to stand
why
being
would
here.
You, why would you go to play if you're not going to win? I mean, at least you got to try to give some effort. And you think, yeah. Oh, we're tanking for Trevor. No, you just can't tank for another player. I mean, especially for a guy who doesn't even want to go to the Jets. Like, what? I got to go play for them? I'm not going to game by going for them. I want to play for a contending team, not a pretending team.
Oh.
But certain
I hear
players,
you bring...
you know, have had that. I mean, think back to when the little brother, Eli, you know, and they were in the Chargers out there, and he said, no, I don't want to take my chance with them. I think I want to head somewhere else. So the Giants went out there. You know, it's nothing new that, you know, a player who is, you know, sort of like high caliber and all hyped up doesn't want to play for a team that thinks he's going to be like, 3-13, 1-15, or whatever the case would be. They want to play for, like, so I can get – because my goal is to win a championship. Not to wait 8 to 10 years to get one.
I hear you, man. Well,
you know,
listen, man, I want to thank you for calling in, man. Go ahead and throw out your social media, my friend, because I know you do a show as well. Give me your social media and where they can find you and your show.
Okay, it's called Why Do I Want to Go to the Jets When I Don't Have To.com. Oh, no, boy. No. It's called I'm on Facebook, and you can reach me at my name at Lutinorp. That's my Facebook. You can reach me at my Gmail account, Lutinorp45 at capitalgmail.com. Capitalize the G or you don't get squat. And my my sports program is called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturdays 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 49 out of 52 weeks of the year. Of course, holidays don't count. The number to call is 512-543-4662. I just finished a show about 90 minutes ago, give or take, and it was an interesting show because we covered the NBA draft. We had the free agent frenzy. We covered college football. Covered a little bit of MLS. I know 90% of people don't really care, but I do it anywho. So we had some show. Right. Yes, I even cover the stuff
well,
that
listen,
nobody
man.
Cares about either.
Well, listen, man, I want to thank you for calling in. It was great to speak with you. You have a good night.
Yes, I'll be back after the Thanksgiving break.
All right, you have a good one. Woo, listen, that caller called. Listen, he had fire, okay? He was fed up, and he let people know how he felt. So, salute to him for calling in. Ooh, man, that guy called in, went completely crazy. I mean, he spoke his mind. You know what I'm saying? He spoke his mind. I'm going to get right back to the chat, and then I'm going to, you know, go ahead and give my thoughts again on this Chargers game. Yo, salute to everybody in the chat. All my savages, man. Venom G's, Roach, Matt Curtis, Daniel Roberts, Angel Reed, Everybody in there, Portway, everybody, man, salute to y'all. Oh, my goodness. That caller brought the fire. Matt Curtis says, Joe, do you think that Herbert is going to torch this secondary tomorrow? Ooh, listen. Let me tell you something, Matt. There's a possibility because we got a lot of young corners, you know, coming in. You know, a lot of guys are – this is going to be, you know, their test. And they're going up against a Chargers, you know, offense that has got some big physical wide receivers that, you know, really get after it. They don't play any games whatsoever. Going back into my take about this game, that's one of my biggest concerns is that these Chargers wide receivers are so big, especially Mike Williams. You know, these fade routes they're going to throw to him in the end zone. They're gonna do that. Guys are going to be tested. Hall, Jackson, you know, again, Gundry, Millett, Ballantyne, those guys are going to be tested. And I want to see how they come out of this. You know, what do they learn from this situation as well? Because, again, they're young corners, so they're going to get beat, you know, but do they get better? Can they learn from that? Can they rise to the occasion or are they going to crumble? We're going to see that. I mean, again, you know, Bosa and Becton, that matchup I think is going to be, you know, one to watch to really see, you know, how Becton handles him. Defensively, I want to see how we get after Herbert as well. We got to do something. We can't let him sit back there and have a party in the pocket. He can't just sit back there and just do whatever. We've got to find ways to get after him. I don't know if you want to blitz him a ton because, again, you send guys at him and he might burn us on the back end, but you got to let him know that this is not going to be an easy game. You got to bang him around. We got to get physical. And one of the guys that I think needs to implement themselves in this football game and have an impact is Jordan Jenkins. I know a lot of people talk about, you know, other players that we have that, you know, have done some things, but I haven't seen enough of Jordan Jenkins this year. I need to see more out of him. I need to see him out there, you know, really making more plays than we say. I'm not saying he's a bad football player, but I just want to see more. So with that said, I am taking the Chargers to beat the Jets 24-10. 24-10, I'm taking the Chargers. I know. I knew I was going to get booed by the people. I understand. Listen, I'm a Jets fan. I love this team through and through, but it is what it is. You know, until this team shows me that they can go out there and play, you know, a full four quarters and go out there and get themselves a win, it's just tough, man. This Chargers team is too good. You know, their wide receiver core is too good. And Herbert, again, a young QB that's really out there chucking the ball around, that's coached extremely well. I just don't think we have enough. So, all right, that's enough booing me, all right? That's enough. You know what I'm saying? That's enough. All right. I'm just trying to give my takes here. So I'm taking, again, the Chargers to beat the Jets 24-10. 24-10, I'm taking the Chargers. So with that said, I want to thank everyone for watching. Salute to everybody in the chat as well. I'm the man of the people. I'm here for the people. Let me shamelessly promote my Facebook page. Everyone go on Facebook, search The Long Beach Joe Show. Like that page. My content's up there. Go ahead and give it a listen. Message me. I'll message you right back. I love going back and forth with folks about this football team. Also, leave me some feedback. I love hearing about what you folks think I do here on The Long Beach Joe Show. I'm also on Twitter as well at YoungJ000. That's 3 0s. Go ahead and follow me. I'll follow you right back. You want to troll me? No issues. I am the troll that lives under the bridge, and I will have my Darnold jersey on as well. You know, hopefully he comes back before the end of the season, but we'll see what happens. You know, and I love going back and forth with folks. I'm also on YouTube as well at Long Beach Joe Jets. Long Beach Joe Jets is, you know, where I stream. You'll find all my content is there as well. So go ahead and subscribe to that channel. Turn on your notifications for it as well. And if you want to troll me, go ahead and get into the comments. You can troll me in the comments as well. I love going back and forth with folks there too. And as always, people, when you see me in person, okay, it is arms out, chest open, free hugs for everyone. Free hugs for everyone. The hugs will remain free, especially in this time. It's a tough time to be a Jets fan. I'm not, you know, necessarily giving up on the team, but it's tough. It is tough, let me tell you. But, you know, free hugs, you know. I got love for everybody on my Jets fans. So you folks have a good one, and I'll be, you know, talking to you folks soon. Peace.